That great Easter passage, 1 Kings chapter number 12. I'm just kidding. 1 Kings chapter 12. I have to admit something tonight. When I was a kid, when I was a little boy, and I heard that song sung, I thought, why did they crucify a rose? It's a rose. It's a flower. That's what, you know, kids think literally. Love crucified. And I wasn't thinking of the word arose. Christ arose. I was thinking of a rose. And it was a good while before I figured it out. I never said anything. I never said to my mom or dad, well, what in the world? I just, one day I figured it out. You know, it finally became clear. 1 Kings chapter number 12 tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse number 25. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 25. The context, many of you know the context here. Solomon has passed away, and Rehoboam, or let me back up just a little bit. Solomon has passed away. Rehoboam is supposed to take the throne, and he does. But the people come to Rehoboam, and they ask him a question, or they don't really ask him a question. They say, look, the tribute and the taxes that your father put upon us were really grievous. You know, can you let up on us a little bit? And the Bible says that Rehoboam, he consulted the wise men, the older men, he consulted the young men. And instead of listening to the wise men who told him, look, if you'll serve your people, if you'll serve them and love them, they will serve you and love you for all of the entirety of your reign. He didn't listen to them. He listened to the young men that he grew up with, a bunch of knuckleheads just like he was. And the young men told him, no. No, you make it tougher on them. You be the king. You tell them that you're going to make it double hard on them. You're going to make it harder than Solomon ever thought about making it. And so part of the nation of Israel broke away from Rehoboam, and we know that that is when we had the division of the kingdom, and we have the northern tribe, ten tribes of the northern kingdom, and then they had the two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, that stayed with Rehoboam, and everyone else went away from Rehoboam, and they had a king by the name of Jeroboam. The Bible says in verse number 25, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like, notice this, I don't want you to miss this, here in the middle of verse number 32, it says, like unto the feast that is in Judah. But it wasn't the same. It was like it, but it wasn't the same. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month. Even in the month, notice this, don't miss this either. Even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Now I want to bring you a message tonight entitled Walmart Worship. Walmart Worship. Father, help and teach us tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Father, I pray that you would remind us, maybe even challenge us with some truths tonight that we find in this passage about our modern day worship, especially in America. And Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight. Father, I don't really know of anybody in here tonight that has any issue with what we're going to speak about tonight. But Father, I do pray that we would be reminded and reinforced to guard against this type of worship in our own church. And so, Lord, we'll praise you for what you'll do in our hearts tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me ask you, how many of you enjoy shopping at Walmart? See, very few, because you don't know what's the right answer. Yes or no, I don't know. All right, honestly, how many of you like shopping at Walmart? Still just two, okay. Look, this is not a message for or against Walmart tonight whatsoever. I honestly, personally, I have personally, not my wife, but me personally, I have come to despise shopping at Walmart. I just do. I just don't like it. I don't like going in there. I honestly would rather spend a little more money and go to a local grocery store. I'd rather spend a little bit more money, go to Tate's, go to Food Giant, wherever the case might be. I just do not. I don't know. It's like when I step over that threshold into Walmart. I'm sorry, Miss Kathy. It's nothing personal whatsoever. Miss Kathy's the only good thing in the Brownsville Walmart. But when I step over that threshold, it's just like, it's almost like when I walk in a mall. The life is just sucked out of me, you know? And I just don't like it. However, what I want to speak about tonight, look, it's not a message against Walmart whatsoever. But I want to speak tonight about some Walmart-like characteristics that have crept into the church. And listen, the church is not Walmart tonight. The church is not a country club tonight. The church is not a social gathering tonight. The church is the church like we talked about this morning. The church is a different organism than some business. And as the church, we have allowed, look, when Sam Walton began this store called Walmart many years ago, he did it with the hopes of, well, he did it with hopes of making money, I know that, but he did it with the idea of putting everything in one place where people can come and shop and have everything right there. And that's not a bad thing, per se. That was, by the way, was that a bad idea on his part? No, the Walton family are very, very wealthy. And by the way, if you have Walmart stock or if you've had Walmart stock for a long, long time, it's doubled and doubled and doubled several different times, you're probably very thankful for that tonight. But there's some characteristics, and we could say Walmart, we could say Kmart, we could say a bunch of different stores, but there are some characteristics of those type of stores that for them is fine. But it's absolutely not fine for the church. And I want to show us that tonight from our passage. Look, these characteristics aren't new. They happened to Israel. They happened to the nation of Israel. They happened when Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom, the divided kingdom, the first king, it happened in his reign. By the way, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter number 14, just probably a page over, it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 16, that Jeroboam was the king who did what? He made Israel to sin. He was the king that made Israel to sin. And he made Israel to sin because he made Israel to worship in the way that he desired to worship. Would you look again at verse number 33? It says, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And you know what? In our churches today, we have devised a mode of worship, hey, that is absolutely against the way God has ordained worship to be. Look, God had already given the nation of Israel the details, the instructions, if you will, of how they were supposed to worship Him. First of all, they were supposed to worship Him in Jerusalem. It's one place, that's where they were supposed to go. He had already given them details and instructions of how they were supposed to worship. But the Bible says that Jeroboam devised it in his own heart. And by the way, he did it because he didn't want to lose control. That's the Bible tells us that. He said, look, if they go back to Jerusalem and worship, I'll lose everybody. They'll kill me. They'll go back to Judah. They'll go back to Jerusalem and worship, and they'll end up killing me. And he did it because he didn't want to lose power. And he didn't want to lose control. I want tonight, very quickly, I want to give you five characteristics of the worship that we find here. And I hope it'll challenge us. I hope it'll remind us of some things. And I hope, as I said a moment ago, I hope it'll reinforce in our hearts. Look, we need to stay with how God has ordained things instead of devising things and devising modes and ideas in our own heart. Let me give you number one tonight as we talk about Walmart worship. Number one tonight, Walmart worship is convenient. It's convenient. Walmart worship is convenient. By the way, that's what Mr. Sam Walton desired when he built Walmart. He wanted a store that was convenient for people to come. You could get everything that you needed. It was convenient. But that ought not be a characteristic that creeps in the church. Walmart worship is convenient. In 1 Kings chapter number 12, notice what the Bible says in just hang on. I know silence kills us, doesn't it? All right, anyway, I'll find it in a minute. But in that passage, and if you see it specifically, tell me the verse. But in that passage, he says, look, in an extent, he doesn't say it exactly, but to an extent, he said, look, it's too far for you to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to go back to Jerusalem to worship. And so he made these two calves, and he put one in Dan in the north, in the northern part of the northern kingdom, and he put one in Bethel in the southern part of the northern kingdom. By the way, you know Bethel wasn't that far from Jerusalem? But he said, I can't let them go back to Jerusalem. If I do, I'm going to lose my kingdom. Walmart worship is convenient. It's too far to travel to Jerusalem. God is so narrow in His expectations of us. One city, Jerusalem, one temple. By the way, in the passage, it says that they built, verse number 31, and He made an house of high places. He built altars. The Bible says in verse 31, He made priests of the lowest of the people. We'll get to that in just a moment. One city, one temple. Hey, one group of people from which the priesthood is supposed to come. That's too narrow. That's too much expectation from God. But Walmart worship is convenient. By the way, boy, those pesky little details always get in the way, don't they? It's amazing to me that we can give attention to detail in every area of our lives except when it comes to church. And if you come to church and you have a Sunday school teacher or you have a choir director or you have a pastor or somebody who gives attention to detail, why in the world are we giving attention to detail at church? You give attention to detail in every other part of your life. Why ought not we give detail or attention to detail when it comes to the things of God? And God in the Old Testament gave detail after detail of how they were supposed to worship. But boy, those pesky little details. One city, Jerusalem. One temple. One altar. Listen, now we sit on our couches in our pajamas eating breakfast watching the church service. We have priests baptizing babies with water guns. Did you see any of that craziness during COVID? Because they didn't want to touch anybody. The parents would bring their children. They wanted to get them christened, but the priest didn't want to touch them. So he shot them with a water gun. Look it up. You'll find it. It's easy to find. My daughter was telling me last night, they were studying in their Baptist history class at college. She was telling me about virtual baptisms where you can put the virtual headset on and be virtually baptized. That's not baptism. That's not biblical baptism. You know what it is in our churches today? Everything must be convenient. And here's the thing. Let me ask you tonight. Was going to the cross of Calvary convenient for Jesus Christ? Was it? You know the answer. No. Okay, well, Christ tells us that we ought to take our cross too. God never called us to a life of convenience. God never called us to a life of ease as Christians. Now listen, I'm thankful that the Christian life is the greatest life to live, but it's not a life of convenience per se. No, because we have a cross that we are to bear ourselves. By the way, would you look over just a little bit? 1 Kings chapter number 18. Would you look at 1 Kings chapter number 18? Walmart worship is convenient. By the way, go whenever you want to. Hey, when you need something, go. That's the way a lot of people view church today. Well, if I get in trouble, then I'll go to church. No, how about we just go all the time and be faithful and be studied up and be prepared up and be trained up and be fueled up so that when the trouble comes, we're ready. Instead of just running when we have a trouble to the house of God. Walmart worship is convenient. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 21. And I've done it. We give the Israelites a hard time about verse number 21. And we should. 1 Kings 18, verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And we give the Israelites a hard time. And we should. We should absolutely give them a hard time. But here's the thing. What had they been taught? They've been taught both. They had been taught that Jehovah was God. But they had been taught that Baal was God too. Ahab built a temple for Baal. So they had been taught that. They had been taught that Baal was God. So, when Elijah comes and drops down in on them and says, hey, if God be God, if Jehovah be God, let Him be God. If Baal is God, then follow Him. And the Bible says they didn't say a word. You know why they didn't say a word? Because they were confused. Probably the vast majority of them were absolutely confused. I don't know. I've heard that Jehovah is God. But I've also been taught that Baal is God. We have a temple to Him. We have altars. We serve Him. We worship Him. So I don't know. Which one is it? You know, that's exactly what's happening in our churches today. You have liberal theologians who preach and teach a God of convenience. And then you have preachers and teachers who preach from the Bible and preach that Christianity is not a life of convenience. It's a calling. It's a life where we bear our cross. It is a life where we get in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ and He gives us rest. His yoke is easy. But it's not a life of convenience. And so they're standing there. And by the way, a lot of young people are struggling with this today. Which way do I go? Do I serve the God of convenience? Do I serve the God that I see all of these, or at least many of them, that I see many of these TV preachers preaching about, the God of convenience, the God who will give me anything that I ever desired, my best life now? Is that what I believe? Or do I believe what my pastor tells me? And they're being pulled. Which way are they going to go? Walmart worship is convenient. Let me give you number two. Walmart worship is cheap. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. And again, this is not a knock on Walmart. Walmart was the modern day, inventor of the generic brand. And that's some of that's really good. But in some cases, what you get is a cheap imitation of the real thing. Walmart worship is cheap. Look what the Bible says. I already mentioned it in verse number 31. The Bible says, let me back up. Look at verse number 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is here it is. This was what I was looking for a while ago. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too much for you. You shouldn't have to go all the way to Jerusalem, especially if you're closer to Dan. You should just go there. It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Did they bring them up out of the land of Egypt? No. Did those two calves, those two golden calves, by the way, where did they learn that? They learned it from Egypt. Where did they learn to worship golden calves? In Egypt. What did Aaron fashion when Moses was up on the mount? A golden calf. They learned that from Egypt. Hey, this modern mode of worship in our churches today, where are we learning it from? We're learning it from the world. We're learning it from Egypt. We want to be just like the world. We want to be just like Egypt. Verse number 29. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. He made an house of high places. Notice this in verse 31, and we're going to come back to this as well in just a moment. And made priest of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Walmart worship is cheap. Imitation gods, imitation altars, imitation feast. The feast mentioned in verses 32 and 33 most likely references the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated on the 15th day of the 7th month. And Jeroboam said, we're going to do it the 15th day of the 8th month. There would be some today who would say, well, what is the big deal? Because God said you're to do it the 15th day of the 7th month. And by the way, the Bible shows us very clearly in verse number 33 that He chose this month, which He had devised of His own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and He offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Walmart worship is convenient. Walmart worship is cheap. Cheap imitations of the real thing. Imitation gods, imitation altars, imitation feast, and so on and so on. Walmart worship is cheap. And here's why. Because it doesn't cost us anything. Doesn't cost us anything. And boy, the live stream, I am thankful for the live stream, but I'm going to tell you, there are some days I just want to throw the live stream away. Because it's made it too easy for people who aren't sick and who don't have a legitimate excuse to sit at home and watch the service and say, hey, I checked off what I was supposed to do this week. Checked it off. And I'm thankful for it because there are people who maybe they're working during the service, or maybe they are legitimately sick and they can't be here, and maybe they can go back and watch it later, or maybe they can watch it while it's going on. I am thankful for that. Don't get me wrong. But there are sometimes it just... you could be here. You see, true worship. And here's the thing. Well, Pastor, you only say that because you just want a body in the pew. No, no, no. Because true worship costs us something. True worship says, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the house of God today because that's where I need to be. I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to Jerusalem because that's where God told us we ought to worship. I'm not going to Dan. I'm not going to Bethel. I'm going to Jerusalem because that's where God told us to go. It doesn't cost us anything. Everything is convenient. And by the way, I have found myself sometimes trying to make things convenient for our church, and the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, why are you doing that? I never said that y'all needed to have convenience. The Christian life takes sacrifice. Isn't that what Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 tells us? The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, I know, look, it's easier to roll out of the bed, turn the TV on, and watch the service. It takes a little effort to get up and get ready, doesn't it? It takes a little effort to get up and get showered and brush your teeth, put your clothes on, get in the car, drive. It takes effort. But you know what? That's part of it. It's part of it. You say, Pastor, it's easy for you to say you walk 30 seconds to church. I understand that. But I grew up and our family drove 30 to 45 minutes every Sunday, every Wednesday night for years to church. For years. That's just what we did. My mom and dad never complained about it. I don't ever remember my mom and dad ever saying anything about the amount of time, the amount of gas, the amount of effort. I never heard them say anything about it. Because that's what true worship, that's part of what true worship is. Hey, these folks went to Jerusalem on foot or by donkey. Now, they didn't have to go every Sunday. I understand that. They didn't go every Sunday. They went for the feast times. They went to worship. But that's how they went. That was their mode of transportation. You see, Walmart worship is cheap because it doesn't cost us very much. We don't have to put any time. We don't have to put any energy. We don't have to put any effort into it. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. Number three. Number one, Walmart worship is convenient. Number two, Walmart worship is cheap. Number three, Walmart worship is casual. Would you go to Genesis 32? Now, by the way, does it drive you nuts? Actually, did I say 32? I meant 35. Genesis 35. Does it drive you nuts? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you're one of these, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. Because this isn't even what we're talking about per se. Does it drive you nuts when you see people in their pajamas in Walmart? But here's the thing. I'm not even necessarily talking about that tonight. I'm speaking more to our attitude. You know what? We have a pajama attitude when it comes to coming to the house of God sometimes. And I'm not talking about the dress. I'm just talking about our attitude. It's casual. Let me say that I'm not against coffee at church. We put a Keurig in our Sunday school classroom, the young adults. I'm not against that. But I will say this. I think that has lent itself to some of the casual attitude toward the worship service. That we need to have our coffee and we need to have our scones and everything needs to be comfortable and everything needs to be convenient. Brother Snow was talking, I believe it was last week, he was talking, maybe, I don't remember if it's a church he grew up in or maybe a family member's church, but he was talking about the pews and they were all wood. And somebody, when they cleaned, they polished them. And so that when you sat down, you would slide. And the whole service, you're just kind of holding yourself up to stay in the pew. And listen, we have it made, don't we? Now, I understand, look, it's hard to get the right temperature in this auditorium. I get that. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. But I'm going to tell you what, beautiful pews, nice and comfortable. Sometimes so comfortable, boy, it's just, whew, boy, I just go to sleep. All right? That has lent itself to Walmart worship. It's lent itself to Walmart type of worship. Where everything has to be comfortable and boy, if the temperature's not just right, if the pew hurts me a little bit. Hey, if you've ever gone to camp at the Builder's Rice Ranch with us, boy, by the end of the week, for the teens, boy, you're just like, oh man, Sunday's going to be nice sitting on a cushioned pew. Because the pews are all wood. And I think they do that on purpose. Keep the teenagers away. And boy, we want everything to be so comfortable. And we have such a casual attitude. Look, if you want to go to Walmart in your pajamas, that's your business. I may laugh at you when I see you, but it's your business. But here's the thing tonight. Don't let that attitude creep into your worship. Our worship ought to be more serious than just rolling out of bed and throwing a cap on and running to Walmart. We ought to put a little more thought into it. Genesis chapter number 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. Now, by the way, don't miss this. Don't say, well, he's going to Bethel. Look, this is before the temple has been built at Jerusalem. This is before the worship has been set up at Jerusalem. Look, Abraham was an altar, or excuse me, Jacob was just like Abraham, or very similar to Abraham, was a builder of altars. Abraham was the ultimate altar builder, but Bethel's where they went to worship. It's the house of God. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, notice this. It's not an attitude of casualness. It's a serious attitude. Look, we're going to Bethel to worship. Chapter number 34, if you want to read it, they had a bad time. It's a bad story in chapter number 34. Read it. Be good bedtime reading tonight before you go to bed. Actually, it won't. But anyway, look, and then in chapter number 35, hey, where's the best place to go after that? Let's go worship. We've just had a hard time. We've had some serious things happen in our family. We're going to go worship. And Jacob and his family were serious about the matter of worship. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. What's the first thing they did before they went and worship? They got themselves right before they went to worship. See, we get this idea sometimes, well, you know, I'll go to church and get right, and that's a good place to get right. But listen, as believers, I ought to come in here prepared and ready to worship. I ought to come in here right with God. I ought to get myself ready on Saturday night. Really, I ought to get myself ready Monday through Saturday. I ought to come in here ready. But Saturday night, I ought to be, Lord, if there's anything between you and I, Lord, between you and me, I want that right. I want to go to your house tomorrow, and I want to meet with your people tomorrow, and I want to worship with them, and we're going to worship together, and I want to be ready. I want to be ready to receive. And Jacob said, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Notice verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. And was, excuse me, with me in the way which I went. And we could go on in chapter 35 there. But here's the point tonight. Walmart worship is casual. For the Jew, coming to worship was serious business. Look, when we come here to worship, and I understand Wednesday night's a little different. I understand Master Club's different. I know that. But I'm going to tell you, when we come in here on Sunday morning and even on Sunday night, okay, it's no time to be fiddling with our phones. It's no time to be passing notes. By the way, let me say this tonight. It's no time to be up and down going to the bathroom and going and getting a drink of water. It's not. No. Do that before you come in here. So that we come in here, we're ready to center our attention upon that which God wants us to center our attention upon, and that's Him. Dale, I remember times when I was a little boy, probably 5 or 6 or 7, I can remember sitting in the pew just wiggling, and I'm sitting there thinking, Pastor, you need to be done. You need to be done fast, because I wasn't going to dare ask my mama to go out because I knew what the answer would be. The answer would be no. You're not going to get up. You're not going to leave the service. Because there was a seriousness about the worship service. Because the man of God is preaching from the Word of God, and we're going to give our full attention. Full attention. My wife, when she was maybe a teenager, maybe an early teenager, she was sitting with the pastor's daughter in church. They were best friends. They were sitting with the pastor, or she was sitting with the pastor's daughter, and they were talking. They were kind of cutting up during the service, and Pastor Duffer stopped the service while he was preaching, and he said, "Beverly, you need to go sit back with your mom." Can I tell you what her mom did not do? Her mom did not, after the service, go to Pastor Duffer and say, "How dare you embarrass me and embarrass my daughter like that?" She did not do that. She took her daughter home and disciplined her, and the next time at church, her daughter apologized to the pastor. And boy, we have this mentality today, well, my baby never does anything wrong. Listen, my three babies do lots of things wrong. I did lots of things wrong when I was a child. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. When have we forgotten that? That we think our babies are perfect. And we think all teachers are wrong. Are teachers wrong sometimes? Sure. But not all the time. And even if they are, we go talk to them privately. We don't make it a spectacle in front of our child. But now it's like, oh, my baby could never do anything wrong. How dare you? I saw, and I don't know who was it wrong. You may have read the whole story. I don't know. But I saw a couple weeks ago where a teacher got in trouble for taping a child's mouth shut. She may have been wrong, or he, I don't even know if it was a he or she. They may have been wrong in that. But I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? The parent ought to found out first why she felt as if she needed to do that. Maybe the child needed that. Pastor, that's just abuse. Tape on a child's mouth is abuse? Really? I'm glad they never found out what my daddy did to me. And probably what your daddy's did to you. And I never considered that abuse. I knew I needed it. I didn't like it at the moment, but after the fact, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't think I'll do that again. I'm not going to do that again. Her mama didn't get mad at Pastor Duffer. Her mama did what was best for her. And say, you know what? Hey, when you're in church, you need to listen. You got in trouble because y'all were cutting up and talking during church, and Pastor Duffer did exactly what he should have done. Walmart worship is casual. For the Jew, coming to worship was serious business. It was a time of sacrifice and consecration. Let me give you number four quickly. Number four, Walmart worship is common. And here's what I mean. Let me explain both. Common, again, Mr. Sam Walton, he made Walmart to be for the common man. That was a good thing. But that should not be applied to the church. The Bible says that Jeroboam made the lowest of the people to be priest. People who weren't even Levites. They weren't supposed to be priests. No. Go back if you would, if you're still in Genesis. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 12. Verse number 31 again. And he made an house of high places. And made look, you know what he did? He made the worship of Jehovah God common. Common. Not for the common man, but just absolutely common and the lowest of the low. Bible says in verse number 31, and he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. And now, boy, in our modern day churches and our modern day worship, anybody can do anything. Anybody can teach a class. Anybody can preach from the pulpit. Anybody can sing in the choir. And we're making the most common of the people to be in leadership positions. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Walmart worship is common. And that's not a good thing for the church. It's a good thing for Walmart. It was for the common man. The common man could go in, the man on a budget could go in and buy a little bit more than maybe he could somewhere else. But for the house of God, being common is not good for worship in God's house. Look, if one day somebody else stands behind this pulpit, it ought to be someone who meets the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3. It ought not be someone, we just like this person. They're a good person. Lots of good people. They're a good person, and so we want them to be the pastor. They better meet 1 Timothy 3 qualifications. If they're going to be a deacon, they better meet 1 Timothy 3 qualifications for a deacon. If they're going to be a teacher, they better meet the qualifications. You say, Pastor, there's not qualifications for a teacher in the Bible. Listen, there are holy qualifications for all of us. Holy qualifications for all of us. I mentioned this a little bit this morning. But listen, there ought never be, and I don't have a Facebook page. I don't want it. Maybe I should, but I just don't want it because I just sometimes I just don't want to know. But there are never, ever, ever be any of our teachers in this church that are posting vulgarity and profanity on social media. That should never happen. Ever. By the way, you ought not like or love profanity or vulgarity on social media. To me, that disqualifies you from being one of our teachers. You ought not stand in front of kids or teenagers and just be absolutely common during the week. You ought to be different. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, and we've seen it. We spoke about that little word as we continue to speak about it. Look, we are peculiar people. We're different. Not common. Not like just anybody that you can run out off the street and get to come in and teach a class. No. There ought to be some difference. Walmart worship is convenient. It's cheap. It's casual. Walmart worship is common. And there's... I hope I don't get in trouble by saying this, but I don't understand. Now, anyway, let me give you number five. Look at chapter number 13. Walmart worship is common. Let me give you number five, the last one. Walmart worship is condemned. Walmart worship is condemned. Chapter number 13, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee." Do you see what he's saying there? Upon thee, altar, altar, upon this altar, he's going to offer you. He's going to offer these priests that have made the office common. He said, "Upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." That happens in the next few verses we're not going to read. But I want you to take your Bibles, and this is where we'll stop tonight. Would you go to the book of Hosea? Hosea chapter number 8. Hosea chapter number 8, right after Daniel, right after the book of Daniel, Hosea. We studied through Hosea several months ago on Wednesday nights. Hosea chapter number 8. Walmart worship is convenient. It's cheap. By the way, good for Walmart, not good for the church. Walmart worship is casual. Walmart worship is common. Listen, I'm thankful tonight for people who want to give of themselves to serve God. That's what worship is all about. That's what worship is all about. Sacrifice, consecration. They'll give their time, they'll give their effort, they'll go out of the way to sacrifice and work and serve for God Almighty. That's a different type of worship than what many people are involved in today. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure." Can I tell you what tonight? Can I tell you? A lot of what is being done in the name of Christian worship today, God has no pleasure in it. He has absolutely no pleasure in it. He says, "For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Notice verse 11. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law. Notice this. But they were counted as a strange thing. What is that? I don't know what that is. They heard the word of God preached, but it was a strange thing to them. They heard the law of God, but that just sounds strange. I've never heard that. That doesn't make sense to me. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. You know, he's hearkening right back to 1 Kings chapter 12. He's hearkening right back to Jeroboam and Jeroboam's two calves. You made the golden calf. But the Lord accepteth them not. Verse 14. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Walmart worship. Walmart worship is convenient. Can I say something else? I'm almost done. You know what? My mom and dad, when we were growing up, they never chose a church based upon what programs they had for the kids. I'm thankful the Lord has allowed us to do wonderful programs for the kids. I'm thankful for that tonight. But my mom and dad never chose a church because of that, ever. They chose a church based on whether the Word of God was being preached or not. If it was a big church, a small church, had lots of kids programs or didn't, because here's the truth, they were going to teach us at home no matter what. And if they had kids programs, great, we would just get extra. Dear friend tonight, you ought not choose a church based on the kids' programs, based on convenience. Walmart worship is convenient. It's cheap. It's casual. Walmart worship is common. That's okay for Walmart. Look, I don't go to Walmart in a suit and tie. Very rarely. Times when I go after cutting grass and I've got jeans and I've got grass all over me. That's okay, Walmart. I still think pajamas are crazy, but if that's what you want to do, amen. But it's not good for the church. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to come up here Wednesday night in my grass-cutting clothes with grass all over me. If I cut grass Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to get a shower before I come. I'm going to change my clothes before I come. Why? Because coming here is a lot more serious to me than going to Walmart. It's a lot more serious to me than going to the farm store. It's a lot more serious to me than going anywhere else. And because of that, I'm going to take the worship that's done in this place a little more serious than other things that I do. And God help us. Look, all these things, they're okay for Walmart. I'm glad Walmart has cheap stuff sometimes. But none of this is good for the church. None of it. And Walmart worship is condemned. God said those priests that are burning the incense on these altars and in these high places that Jeroboam has set up, King Josiah, when he comes, he's going to burn them on these altars. Walmart worship is condemned. Father, we love you tonight. Father, help us. Lord, please. Father, help us not to get pulled away into the casual atmosphere in which we live today. It's okay for some things. Maybe even okay for many things. But it's not okay for church. God, help us not to get pulled away in the convenience that we enjoy in so many areas of our lives. Well, it's not good in the church. Because, Father, things aren't convenient sometimes. They are convenient for us in the year 2022. We have beautiful buildings, beautiful pews, beautiful accommodations. The temperature, for the most part, is good. We have so many conveniences. But Father, help us not to get so wrapped up in that that we forget we have a cross to bear. We're not called to live a convenient, comfortable life. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Father, we'll thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're physically able, I'm asking you to stand tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chris is going to play. We'll not prolong the invitation tonight, but if you need to come, I'd ask you to come. Maybe you'd be here tonight and you'd say, you know, I've gotten a little convenient, gotten a little casual, gotten a little cheap in my worship. My attitude toward worship sometimes on Sunday morning, and not just Sunday morning, but the whole week. I don't come prepared on Sunday morning the way that I should. I don't come prepared Sunday night the way that I should. And sometimes I just have a casual, kind of cheap, convenient attitude toward church and toward the worship services. Maybe tonight you want to get that right. Maybe tonight you say, Lord, I want to be serious in my worship. True worship takes a little sacrifice. It costs us sometimes.